Carl Rogers sold a generation in Western society on the idea that counseling is listening. He sold a generation on the idea that counseling was listening, and that was a terrible thing to do. In the whole history of the world up until the time of Carl Rogers, who was a great salesman but a lousy counselor, in the history of the world, everybody knew that counseling was offering help and advice from the outside to somebody who needed it, who didn't have it on his own. And he turned that all around and he said, the heresy is to get any kind of advice from the outside. You must look within, because people are essentially good at the core of their being, as he put it, end quote, and therefore have all that they need in the way of answers prepackaged within. So you look within. And the only thing the counselor does is to help the person do that, to help him understand what he himself thinks about. That's why reflection was the big thing with Carl Rogers. You reflect back to him what he himself already had to say or think about the matter. And so you were there helping him clarify this for himself. But if you introduced anything of your own, that was dead wrong. Of course, the Bible, God, any church or anything on the outside, a preacher, a parent, anybody who brought information to an individual was, of course, the worst heretic in the world for Carl Rogers. So we need to get past this thing that happened to a generation and is beginning to peter out a little bit now, but still hangs around in many circles, and also in Christian circles probably more than elsewhere, because the Christian church is always late in getting something that the world had earlier. When the world has rejected something, the Christian church thinks it's the greatest thing in the world and promotes it right about that same time. That's what happened to self-image, for example. It's all everywhere in the Christian church today, and in the world out there just about threw it out. So what we want to do is to find out what listening really is all about in counseling. It certainly isn't what has been promoted by Carl Rogers and company. And incidentally, by the way, Carl Rogers, before he died, said the whole thing was a failure. I don't know whether you realize that or not. Skinner did the same thing. So, let's think about this. Counseling is not listening. Listening is not some kind of a therapeutic device or process, but counseling needs listening. Listening is a very crucial part of counseling, but it's kind of like the battery in your car. You're not going to get anywhere without it, but if you just sit on your battery, you're not going to get anywhere either. And that's the way listening is. It's absolutely essential to power up the thing, but in no way is it the car. So we want to look at listening from a biblical perspective and see what kind of a place it needs to have in your work as a biblical counselor. First of all, what do Christians listen for? Carl Rogers and those that he sold in this listening thing said, listen for feelings. Listen for feelings. That was supposed to be profound stuff. But, you know, it's really very superficial when you think about it. In fact, Rogerianism was superficial enough that you could learn it on a weekend and go to both services at church. It didn't take a lot to learn. And it doesn't take very much to think about listening in the way in which he thought about it. You know, you just sat there and supposedly you were doing things for people. It was therapeutic to let them get it off their chest. But I say listening can be dangerous. It can be extremely dangerous for a Christian in particular. Here's somebody who has gone to this counselor and that, who's tried all the self-help books, used his own ideas, tried to do things that his friends have told him to do to solve his problem. And as a last resort, after everything has failed, he says, I think I'm going to try to find out what God has to say about my problem, so I'll go to a Christian counselor. So he goes to a Christian counselor, And all the counselor does is listen. Maybe make a few grunts. Yeah, oh, yeah. I see you're torn two ways, this kind of thing. But he doesn't give him any answers. At the end of the session, the man's pumping the counselor's hand saying, I feel so much better, thank you. This was on Tuesday. On Thursday, he blows his brains out. Why? Tuesday, he was so grateful for all this. Why? Well, on Tuesday, what happened was he just got it off his chest and he felt a little better. But then when he had a little space to get thinking about this matter, he thought, I've been everywhere to find answers, and I finally went to see what God's answer was, and God doesn't have an answer either, because that counselor didn't give me one. He just sat there and listened to me. He must not have had an answer. God doesn't have an answer. Boom. Listening alone can be extremely dangerous. I hope you get that point. So, what are we listening for? Not feelings. That's superficial because, you know, it's so easy to find out when people are feeling bad. I mean, here's a guy sitting here and he's staring at the wall and his face is all turned down. What do? You go over to him and you say, why so glum, chum? Didn't take a lot of counseling to find out. Guy was feeling lousy, messed up. You know, feelings are so easily detected that you haven't gone very far when you found out somebody's feeling bad. In fact, most people tell you about their feelings. You say, how are you? Well, and they start to give you an organ recital. Christians listen for facts. They don't listen for feelings. Feelings are too obvious, too superficial to be concerned about. And besides, doesn't do any good to just know what the feelings are. Facts are what we ought want, the very thing that Rogers did not want. And we also, along with it, want to learn about excuses that a person frequently gives and that may be part of his lifestyle, a basic part of his lifestyle that he lives as somebody always making excuses or blaming somebody else. We want to listen for exaggeration in his speech. I'm ruined, I don't know what to do, kid. You know, exaggeration. We want to listen for jargon that he may have bought into, psychological jargon or some other sort, which has led him to believe that certain things are true about him or not, and he's trying to operate on that basis. We want to listen for contradictions. One time he says this, but a little while later he's saying the opposite. What's wrong here? Is he fuzzy in his thinking, or is he trying to cover up something he said earlier, or what is it? You know, there's something going on here. We'll listen for contradictions. We'll listen for error, which could be leading him astray in any number of ways, doctrinal error or whatever. We want to listen for hesitation when he tries to answer questions. I mean, is he having a hard time getting it out, or is there something he'd like to say and he just doesn't know how to put it? Or he's afraid to put it. We listen for confusion in what he has to say. We listen for omissions, significant omissions. He'll tell you all these things that went on, and then suddenly he jumps to another period and he omits this little period, something significant about that. We're going to listen for responses that he gives us when we talk to him. How does he respond to the scriptures, as you present the scriptures to him? How does he respond to the idea that the counseling is going to be biblically based? How does he respond to counseling this, that way, and the other way? In other words, we're interested in facts about this person, not just feelings. Now, in order to deal with listening, we're going to study today the greatest listening passage in the Bible, in my opinion. Where is that? What? Proverbs 18, if you already know, then let's close down. Okay, Proverbs 18 is the greatest listening passage in the Bible. Verses 13, 15, and 17 we're going to look at. Verse 13 says this, he who answers before he hears, it is folly and a reproach to him. What a powerful statement that is. We answer.